That's good feedback.
Bad feedback is...
Did anybody notice I put a sound effect in the previous episode?
You put a sound effect in?
Yeah.
What is this?
I believe that was...
Are we a morning zoo now?
I think that... Yeah, pretty much. I believe that was a direct suggestion.
Okay. All right.
It was a breaking news sound.
Nice.
I thought we made our own sound effect.
It was a professional show.
Are we outsourcing now? We're no longer... You're taking jobs away from innocent podcast hosts making their own sound effects.
I'm literally doing both.
I'm inserting sound effects
and I'm making my own sound effects because I just made a feedback sound.
Okay. Well, you're a renaissance man.
Thank you.
I've always said that about John.
Big week.
Anybody got $2 billion on hand or... Handy?
Like I don't even have $3,500 on hand.
Check your sofa cushions.
Yeah.
So,
I bet Apple does though. Apple's got I think Apple's got $2 billion.
Wow, they're gonna not pay it for as long as they can.
Yeah.
Apple's EU. I tried to find a neutral word to describe what they wrote. and the best I could come up with was essay, but I don't think that's quite right. Mm. I want to say screed because...
You want to say screed, of course.
It reads like a screed. It's a good screed read.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that? Opinions on that one? I feel sorry for Apple? You with them? You against them?
I don't know how to feel about this one, honestly, because I was definitely, I'm very much against their non-steering provision, but that already doesn't apply to Spotify. They can already link to their site for other options. The thing that they want to do right is put in the prices.
Right.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think you should absolutely be able to tell them to go to your website for another way to pay. I don't know. Like, not sure if it's. The price thing is. I'm not completely sold on.
I don't see why not, though. Right? I mean,
yes, I guess. I just don't think it's as much as like. I mean, I'm not as absolutely for it as I was for being able to link to another option.
Lex, what do you think?
I don't know. This is Apple's second letter in a row in my mind, talking about how bad other entities are and how Apple's never wrong. And I don't love it. I don't think it's a great look.
the thing that I think is funny is how they sort of portray it as sneaky that, like, oh, the EU is doing this. And guess who's in the EU? Spotify. Like, that's how that works.
I don't know. Like, I understand Apple's point that, hey, they're Spotify's success is in part due to us, so we should be able to make some money on it. But I don't know if I agree. Like,
I'm with you, Lex. Actually, I'm coming down with you on this one.
It's the same way that, like, I don't think that TV set makers got money from the broadcast networks or cable networks, right? They made the TV sets. They chose to make the TV sets. They make their money selling TV sets. So shut the fuck up and sell your TV set. I don't know.
Right.
Crazy. I mean, I'm with you on this one because I actually think, you know, the inverse is just as true, right? Like, Spotify being on Apple's devices also helps Apple.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, you made this business model, right? Like, suck it up, man. Like, like said, you decided to build this thing and you decided what the rules of the road were going to be. And somebody is taking issues with your rules. And on this one, especially, like, I think the thing that makes me the least sympathetic to Apple here is that this argument boils down to, yes, we made billions upon billions of dollars, but look how many more billions we could have made.
The tone is absolutely terrible.
Yeah. And that's important, right? Like, mm-hmm. optics are important. And I'm not sure that Apple, I feel Apple has a huge leg to stand on here. And I'm sure, like, I also have to ask myself, what is the point of publishing this? this is not to convince Europe to change their mind, because if you did not make these arguments already, you're doing a bad job. So
yeah, I'm not sure why they should have highlighted this. Yeah, in this way,
like they're trying to convince us, which is to say both, I think, the press and the general public, to like be on their side and be angry about it. And it's always worth asking whenever a giant corporation wants you to be on their side, why? Like, because you fundamentally want our money, right? So you're trying to convince us that you deserve our money more than those other guys. And I don't know, I'm just not buying it.
And as a consumer, I mean, I'm not getting Spotify, but as a consumer, it would certainly be helpful to be able to see the prices there. There's no denying. I'm not so convinced that Apple should be required to let them put that there. But I think that as a consumer, absolutely, I would want that information. Why wouldn't I want that information?
Yeah, that's true with so much of the App Store shit, though, right? Like the users, the ones who get screwed. Like, wouldn't it be nice if you could buy Kindle books in the Kindle app?
Yeah.
It would.
Yeah. I mean, I remember buying comic books through the Comixology app before it got bought by Amazon. And that was great.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I hadn't even thought about it in those terms of like, why did Apple write this letter? Because my immediate idea was, or thought was, oh, Apple published this letter because they think that customers will hear, oh, Apple did something bad, and this way they can say, no, look, we didn't do anything bad at all. They're all wrong. But like, I don't feel like the average customer is going to read that, nor do I think anybody's convinced by it. Like, it's a great question. Yeah. Why the hell did they publish that thing?
Yeah, just appeal it.
They're angry.
Just, you know, like, we wouldn't be surprised that you're going to appeal it. Why would we?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think what...
I mean, we're not going to get impaneled to be on, like, some sort of grand jury in the EU.
Right? In the world, yes.
The world. Do I have to fly to The Hague?
Yeah. Well, that's not happening. Yeah. You won't even visit The Hague in an Apple Vision Pro. I think, you know, it's weird, too, because of this whole, like, you know, fundamentally, we're talking about the App Store business model. And... the thing about it is that it's always been the worst, like, public, like, PR-wise, optics-wise, the worst aspect of Apple's business. Yeah. And they seem offended when people get angry about it. And you know what? I my feeling on that is, that's your fault, Apple, honestly, for a couple reasons. One, not only because you chose that business model, but also because you decided that you at some point would put forth the image of you're a company that cares about things beyond money. Like, you care about the environment and you care about social justice and you want to create great products and you want people to love you. And that's going to cut both ways. So when you do shit that people don't
that's where you went wrong, is wanting people to love you.
I mean, kind of, if you're a corporation. Yeah.
No. I mean, it's true.
So... when you're complaining that people don't like your business tactics, like, it's harder for Apple than I think most companies to fall back on the, hey, it's just business defense, because we honestly expect better from them and that's their own fault.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Pay your $2 billion and shut up.
Yeah. And honestly, like,
or at least just change it. Well, I mean,
it is interesting that this is a pretty big fine, because for a long time they've been fined these piddly little amounts that they can make back in like a half a day, whereas this one is noticeable. They're I think they will feel this a bit.
It's hard to say. I did the math and not really.
I think it's substantially more than they have been fined to date.
But if you like work it out, I mean, it's still a couple days worth of profit for them. It's not very much. Like a week. Like,
I don't think they want to give. I mean, you know, they don't like giving a profit though.
Oh, absolutely. I did the math, and in 2023, they made about $3,500 worth of profit a second. Like,
same, by the way.
They could own this show in about 2 seconds. Well, less than that. 1 second?
No.
We would take very low payouts.
Yeah, come on. Let's be honest.
I don't know. It's I really don't know why they published that letter. And like, it definitely feels like Steve Jobs level anger. And he's not around to do it. So who else has that anger?
I don't feel Tim is that angry, but like, ultimately, somebody probably got to sign off on it. So, you know, like,
well, Schiller is the App Store czar. So,
yeah, Phil seems like
he would be the obvious person. And you know, he might write something like this, wouldn't you think?
The other thing about this that struck me to a certain degree was also, and this kind of goes back to the whole App Store model in the first place, is it feels as though if you are confident in your product being the best, you wouldn't need to do this shit.
Yeah,
and right. That's where I struggle, because mm-hmm. I think a great example is Steve Jobs, you know, talking about when they announced the iTunes Store, like, we're going to compete with piracy. And that's a hard, row to hoe, because you're trying to get people to pay money for a thing that they were just stealing, right? And that's, most people, I think, given the opportunity to do the right thing and at a fair price, would do so. And they did, and it worked, right? But, that was a pretty big coup. But, their whole point was, we got to make this easier and better than the piracy experience. And so I feel like if they felt like the App Store was such a good experience that, look, it doesn't matter. We'll let people tell you to go to their website and at a discount, whatever, because we still provide the best experience at the end of the day. But it feels to me like they're aware we do not provide a competitive environment, and therefore we must stop people from doing things other ways.
I don't quite see it that way. I think that's they fair. See it that it is the best. And that they should get to control it all. I don't think that they think that it's... I don't think that their fear is somebody else could make a better app store. I think it's that they think that their way is the right way and everybody else should just shut up.
That's fair.
I think that sounds a little bit maybe
a little
right
of both, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wish they don't
want to give up. And they don't want to give up those few people who would decide they're going to go through more trouble in order to pay either less or pay to the people directly.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I honestly feel that to a certain extent, if you want people to be able to advertise to go outside the App Store and buy stuff there, then maybe in order to be competitive, you need to cut your commission.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Then they won't make it as cheap outside because they will be losing money. I don't know. I mean, I know subscriber data and all that stuff is a part of the package as well. So it's not purely about the transactional cost, but I think the App Store is, between the DMA and this, I think the App Store is starting to strain at the seams of what is possible under the current environment. And I think they're just going to, we've seen so many courts across the world basically now hitting them with not huge monetary fines, but forcing them to change their behavior, including external linking, which is now true in, I think, if not every place, many, many places. And so it's just going to keep getting chiseled away at, I think, because it can't survive. It's so big and so controlling in some ways that I think it's painted a target.
It's such a target. Exactly. Yeah.
It's also worth noting that it sucks, right? The App Store sucks. It's especially remarkable to me that Vision Pro's App Store still doesn't even have a browse option, I guess, or something. I don't know. You can't walk the aisles of the App Store. And I'm not saying that's an easy problem to solve. It's not. But finding stuff that's not hugely popular sucks in the App Store.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. And there's still, despite all the, reviewers and stuff like that, and the processes, bad shit comes through still, right? Their arguments about oh, it's going to be so bad. And I'm not saying it wouldn't be worse if it was just a free-for-all, but it's not like they're reducing it to zero. They're reducing the risk to a smaller percentage.
Right.
And it still feels like maybe there's a way to reduce it to a small percentage and also have some freedom.
Well, that's the thing. When you are defending it so much as the best possible option, every time it has a flaw in it, you're drawing more attention to the fact that your argument is so so strict. I mean, you're Any mistake just stands out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed.
Well, we solved that one.
Well, they're going to make up all this money on AI. That's how they're going to do it.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
That's exciting.
Okay. Story.
And you know the best platform for AI, right?
Is it like a wood, like a deck, like a nice teak? Deck.
that's for steampunk AI.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
You're thinking of the kind I know. AI. No, why did they say that about the new MacBook Air? Like, we just have to throw, we have to throw AI in there somewhere.
It's a buzzword. It's a buzzword. AI.
Does it still surprise you a little bit when new Apple hardware doesn't merit an event?
I mean, no.
Not a processor upgrade.
Speed bumps have always been like that. They don't do an event for speed bump. Like, nothing else changed.
It does seem like they could have done an event because there's more to come. And it definitely seems like they could have done an event if they wanted to. I think they just decided that none of this stuff, these are all like improvements that are sort of standard that happen to the
I think if it doesn't strap to your head, anyway. Apple doesn't give a shit. That's my reason.
No, but this has always been the case for Mac updates, right? Like, unless it's like a substantial redesign, they've redone it. I don't think the M3, like, to John's point, maybe if they bundled everything together, but I think it would also be a weird hodgepodge event, and some of these things are not necessarily things they want to spend time talking about.
Right. I mean, so, you know, if you put, you know, force a whole bunch of journalists to get on a plane and fly to Cupertino, and then you announce like a new pencil, some new iPads, and new MacBook, that's going to be kind of annoying.
The iPad one is the one that I feel like is potentially the most like interesting.
Assuming they're going to release a 12.9 inch Air.
Well, and that they have like the rumors now talk about like the iPad Pro getting redesigned a bit too.
It's going to be a circle,
and it's got the OLED. A circle, sure, yeah. Well, then it's easier.
I kind of
want to
see that.
You know, it's easier to put one in front of each eye. Then
that's right. I was going to note though, when you talk about that press release on the MacBooks talking all about AI, I feel free, you know, any listener or co-host to make a note of the date and time. I am already dreading the screenshot stories that are going to come out once Apple does integrate some kind of fancy AI stuff into iOS or whatever, and like you can talk to Siri or text Siri and it gives you AI answers and you can get it to say horrible things or stupid things or wrong things. Like, you know, it's going to happen. And I'm already dreading those stories because it seems like all of these generative AIs do that. So
bad. I saw one today that was about, I think it was Copilot, and it was like, it got it to like, you know, convince it was like an evil AI bent on world destruction. And I read this story and I was like, I don't know why I'm reading this. And at the end of the, like the excerpt or whatever, it's like, you know, the AI is saying like, of course this is just like a fantasy thing. Like, don't take it too seriously. And it's like, too late. They've written 18 stories about how AI is evil and going to kill us. But I'm with you, Alex. I don't know how.
Is AI not reading the stories? Is that the problem?
It's writing them. It's not reading them. Part of me wonders if Apple would try to find a way to institute stronger guardrails, but part of me thinks that's also really difficult to do with just the nature of AI.
Right.
And I know you've played around with this more than most of us and like have found ways to, you know, circumvent those things. So I don't know if you could do anything so good that you could predict all the possible loopholes.
Right. Like, that's just it. You can, in theory, you can get these things to break their own rules by just working with them for a long time. So I'm sure there are ways that you can try to cleverly not allow those things, but I don't know. I'm very curious. Cause like, I can't imagine Apple's going to want an experience where it has to constantly say, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Even for things that would be fine. So
we already have that. That's Siri now.
Yeah. They want it to work better than Siri is my guess.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. I think, at the end of the day, there's also the question of, how many protections do you put into place for people who are going to deliberately try to circumvent the system that will reduce utility for people who are just using it in good faith?
Yeah.
Because if it, like you said, if it's useless and it doesn't do anything, nobody will use it and there's no point to any of this exercise.
Well, I don't know. We use Siri and it's mostly useless.
That's true. But only for very prescribed things. And sometimes it's still like, I asked it to add something to a grocery list this morning and it's like, playing this song.
Oh my God.
It did. Why? The other day, I got three texts in a row, or like two texts and a reaction, and it strung all three of them into one sentence when explaining it. I was pretty, you know, like, that's not super impressive, but I was impressed for Siri level that it was able to do that.
My toddler can't do that, so I guess there's that. You got that.
My dog can't do it.
My dog can, actually. I'm just going to put that out there.
Wow.
Do you know what's
must be nice?
What's truly amazing is not even the idea that Apple could make Siri better. But what's truly remarkable is that this episode of The Rebound is brought to you by Indochino.
We have an ad.
Don't you just love when you find something that just checks all your boxes? Like that perfectly made cup of coffee, an extra legroom seat on the plane, now you're speaking my language, or a suit that fits just right. Well, you're in luck. You can get the perfect fit for a suit by Indochino. Their suits are made to measure and totally customizable. They're made to measure and totally customizable with endless options. You can choose the cut, fabric, lining, and more to create the perfect suit at a surprisingly affordable price. Moltz, what do you have from Indochino? People are tired of hearing about my suit.
I have a lovely pair of pants that fit me like a glove.
How many legs do you have?
Not to get too graphic, but...
and how does wearing your custom piece make you feel?
Like $1 million.
Nice.
Even though that is not what I pay... Well, not what you would pay for those pants.
Did you shop online or visit a showroom? Describe your experience.
I shopped online.
I see what you're doing here.
I shopped online and I had help getting my measurements from my wife. And it all worked swimmingly, I would say.
To be clear, Moltz's wife is not included with your Indochino order. But
that is true.
With new colors, fabrics, and outerwear styles, it's easy to create your next look. And you can choose the exact customizations you want, from buttons and vents to pockets and lapels. You say how you want it, and that's how they'll build it. So you can get blazers, pants, skirts, outerwear, and more, all designed and made for you or your loved one. Plus, you only need 10 minutes or fewer to set up your measurement profile. Measure yourself from the comfort of your own home or make an appointment at one of Indochino's showrooms. Find your perfect fit with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code REBOUND to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's 10% off at Indochino.com with code REBOUND. Indochino, custom or bust'em. Hey.
Yeah, it's back, baby.
We're just excited that there's people sponsoring the show.
Quick,
do I have the actual sound effect? I guess I could get that noise.
You guys update to 17.4 yet?
I feel like you came out as we were recording.
What time
just
is it?
Came out. Like, why aren't you doing it right now?
Yeah, because I'm on a podcast. That's why.
Okay, I did it. I did it already. On my phone. I mean, my phone's not involved in this podcast, so.
I was rooting for software updates to come out today because all of a sudden I was on a 2-hour Google Meet and my Mac really started grinding to a halt and I couldn't restart because I was on this Google Meet. And as soon as that call ended, I was like, I wonder if there's a Mac update that I could just install now. So when I'm restarting, there's like an extra reason for it. And there wasn't one. And I was sad that I had to just restart with no purpose.
Now you have to restart again.
Now I have to restart again. Yeah. Stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I will say so aside from all the Europe stuff that's in there that us plebes in the US won't get.
You?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know what that was.
It's him trying to pronounce EU.
Yeah.
EU. I see what you did. Okay. Sorry. I just thought you made a weird sound effect again.
You did.
I was very confused.
But Moltz got it. As long as my stuff works for Moltz, I'm happy.
That is also really similar.
Remember when we talked, one.
You remember when we talked about my HomePod dying? That's very similar to the sound the HomePod made.
Oh, wow.
It's podcast transcriptions are now going to be available in the podcast.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
And
if you're reading this podcast,
if you're reading,
thanks for reading.
Finally, you're reading the transcripts, John.
Yeah. Let's
finally,
see it say reading, finally, you. Yeah. Spell that, Apple Podcast,
or those noises I was making earlier.
Yeah, there some may be more challenged than others, I guess. But that's nice. I mean, people ask for transcripts a lot, and it's become much more plausible to do it. But it's still the workflow of it is kind of a pain. And I don't know, the idea that Apple would just do that for you, it certainly makes our lives easier. So I'm glad they're doing
anything they can do to make our lives easier.
It's clearly,
mostly.
And this blows my mind that it's the case, but it's computationally so easy to do transcripts. Like I regularly need to get transcripts for some of my podcast clients. And, an hour episode I can get a transcription for in less than a minute. And like with speaker identification and everything, it's crazy how far this technology has come so fast.
What are you using with speaker identification?
Well, it doesn't tell you who the speakers are, but it can divide them up into speakers.
Okay.
Cockatoo is the service that I use. Don't get the URL wrong. It is
literally birds are doing
it's,
your
it's cockatoo.com, but not a sponsor, but they work great. The thing, like, and I certainly love podcast transcripts from an accessibility standpoint. I don't know. Some people... judge is maybe the wrong word, but I think it's also true. Some people judge me or others like me for many reasons, but specifically in this case, for listening to podcasts at faster than 1x. And for me, it's like, I want to not have it take forever to listen to the shows I enjoy. And so people are like, no, enjoy the experience of the art the way its creators intended, but we all talk slow. Well, most of us do.
You don't.
I talk the way I talk because of the way I listen to podcasts, maybe. But
we're actually slowing down, Lex, for this show.
But I love listening to podcasts.
Following along in real time, it's hard.
There's something that's sad to me about imagining reading a podcast that you like instead of listening to it, because I feel like there's something in the listening. Like, if you need to read the transcript, obviously, I'm fully supportive, but like, I'd be sad if everybody was like, hey, let's stop reading the podcast and just read the... Let's stop listening
podcasts
and just read
them. Books now.
Yeah,
people.
Exactly. That would be sad.
Well, I don't know, but like, it's like people complaining about audiobooks. It's like, I don't know, read or listen in whatever form you
prefer.
That's fair.
Right? That's a great
like,
comparison.
And I don't think that most people are going to just sit down and read a podcast. I think it's handy for a couple things like search, right? Like, that's the thing that gets me is like, oh, these people talked about this thing somewhere in a podcast. Well, guess I'll never know where it was because there's no way to find it.
There are some people who are opposed to this because they're afraid that their words are going to be taken out of context and
maybe
and
don't then. Say shit.
Yeah,
I'm not saying this podcast is the proudest I always am of myself, but no, you know, I know. What? I'm aware of what I'm
definitely
doing,
things
and it's
that
on
could
the record.
Probably
it's
be
okay.
taken out of context that I, you know, but is anyone going to take anything I say seriously? No,
not. Oh, joke's on them.
Exactly.
Please don't use our words against us.
You got involved in a land war in Asia.
Like that, for example.
Exactly. That's definitely one.
Well, Apple added you know, this transcript support into iOS for free, but we answer questions for money.
You make us sound a little desperate.
Our sincere thanks.
Well,
I don't think I've been paid yet this month, Lex, so should I go on strike until I get paid? Or?
You know, it takes Stripe about 5 days to catch up, so I try not to do it right away because then I'm like paying you for a shortened month. But I like being
mean to you. I'm sorry.
It's fine. I appreciate it.
It feels mean. I'm sorry.
That's why his jokes are only for me.
Pay memberful people. All right, put it on my calendar for today. So let's see. But yeah, no, thanks, because people have been signing up for Rebound Prime every week, probably from our desperation with no ads. So that's very kind of you. Even when we have an ad, we like it when you sign up. So prime.reboundcast.com.
And we're episodes. Also still desperate.
That's right. Bonus episodes. Correct. 15 plus people are listening live right now. You get bootlegs and you get to ask questions that we answer, like this one from Holger. Lex, how do you like using live activities while charging on your updated Rivian app? And he's correct. The Rivian app got updated to support live activity when you plug in your car. So then you can get a little progress bar for your battery charging in the, what do you call it? The notch? I can't think of what they call it.
The dynamic island.
That's
please,
the one.
Please, classier than notch.
I love it. I love it so much, Holger. Actually, it's silly because you have to like launch the app once each time you plug the car in for it to show up, and it's like, I don't care. I'm charging it overnight. It's fine. But I like that it's there. We have a couple questions from, I believe, new Rebound Prime member CTD.
All right.
Way
to use that.
Here we go.
Ability.
Yeah, and for good purpose, you know, to ask the questions that everybody wants to know. Here it is. In the forthcoming great vowel shortage, which vowel would you give up? Bonus points for speaking your answer without that vowel, and triple bonus points for not choosing you, because then you can't say you, only yo. I know it's not really a technology question, but there is an I in iPhone. There's also an O and E in iPhone. Just want to put that out there.
If you choose you, then Lex wouldn't be able to say you. You would just say E.
I think I would sometimes get rid of Y.
And W.
W is not a vowel.
W is not a vowel.
Isn't that like, that's how that song goes, right? Sometimes Y and W.
Okay.
W must be a vowel. In Welsh. It's definitely a vowel in Welsh.
That's true. It is a vowel in Welsh. Can I give up Welsh vowels? Can I give up a Russian vowel? I know the Cyrillic alphabet, way too many vowels.
Can I buy back a vowel?
Hebrew is often written without any vowels, so I'm happy to get rid of all of them and just see what happens.
Oh, yeah. Arabic, too.
CTD. Go ahead.
I don't have an answer to that one. Sorry.
I don't think I can reply with that.
Do you think that CTD,
in the way that CTD asked,
is named CTD because of CTD's opposition to vowels?
That's interesting.
CTD also says, before Amazon bought Comixology, I used to buy a lot of comics in the app. Then many fewer, even though they left the app mostly untouched apart from removing in-app purchases. But since they rolled it into Kindle, pretty much zero. Discoverability is zero. Do you read comics on iPad anymore, and where do you get them from?
John Maltz. That's where I get them. I'm
you get them from
the
John
answer.
Maltz, yeah. I get them, I have bought some through the Marvel app, although... I can't even remember how that works anymore, because I think they did away with the app that was like dedicated for just purchasing.
Wasn't it like a Comixology rebrand or something? I don't even remember. Maybe that was a long time
ago. Yeah, it was.
Ago.
Right. And so when Comixology went away, it also went away, I think is the reason. And I think they moved that into the fire hose of comic books that come
Marvel
out six
Unlimited.
Months late. Unlimited, yeah. And I did subscribe to Unlimited for a long time, and I read a lot of comic books doing it. And when I was subscribed, and I got to the point where I was reading just comic books and not books anymore, and so I was like, "This is not, this is no way to live." So I stopped.
Real food.
I stopped. Yeah, exactly. And then last year, I got it again because I thought, "I'll take out." You know, I haven't done it for a while. I'll take a look. And I read very few. This question made me think of what I really need is I really need a wire cutter for comic books, because what happens is when I get Unlimited, they're all there. It's 6 months late, but I don't care that much. But I never know like what's going to be good, because I spent so much time reading just like lousy comic books. Like, oh, I'll read the X-Men because I love the X-Men. Well, a lot of X-Men comic books are just not that great. So I could use some sort of easy to digest site that would tell me what I should be reading. And if anybody knows
reviews,
if that exists, what?
Aren't those just reviews? Like people?
Well, yeah, but like something that is more, you know, where it's not like I got to go to like Comic Book Resource of all places and try and find a review. And I mean, that place is a nightmare. I'm just thinking of something that's a little bit more approachable. That doesn't constantly ask me to, you know, turn off my ad blocker, et cetera.
I was an Unlimited subscriber for a long time as well. And I think I hit that point much earlier than John, where I just realized I was just paying them and I wasn't reading anything.
Yeah.
And so I eventually stopped. I will say what I've determined to be the best thing for me is I really just get occasional comic recommendations through friends. And then I
friends you
to
say.
Go,
quote, I suppose I could try that
or enemies. Mm-hmm. And I just go to Hoopla, which is the library system like comics. You can get graphic novels through your local library potentially.
Yeah.
And so I will get runs of comics there because you can just borrow them. You don't need to pay for them. And I find that works pretty great because a lot of times they don't have the same breadth of comics that like a Marvel Unlimited has, but like again, to John's point,
right.
A lot of it's crap.
A lot
so
of it's crap.
The right. stuff that tends to be better, I think,
yeah.
they
things
more
that get
likely
put into
have.
A graphic novel are probably going to be so, worth your time.
And they have individual issues. But like here, this collects like, you know, 1 through 13
well, not
of a particular
I
run.
Guess, I guess it's
like
a trade paperback, right?
Yeah, right. But they have
like
collections,
novel.
Right? Like yeah. before, when we did our Moonlight. Fuck. Someone who listens to my other show is going to make fun of me now. Moon Knight episode on Biff. I went and read a run that was on there, and it was like, oh, we've collected all 13 issues of this run from this Moon Knight run from this year or whatever by these authors. And like that was very convenient and easy.
Yeah. So I if you remember back in the days of Twitter, and I promise this is my way of answering this question about Comixology. Sometimes, you know, somebody would talk about a celebrity or somebody else without naming them. And they would say, don't snitch tag, right? Don't at the person who I haven't added. So I'm just saying, nobody needs to tell any place that I used to work the story I'm going to share here. And I would never violate any non-disclosure agreements. But once when I was at Amazon, I was invited to attend a thing where it was like executives from a variety of acquired companies that Amazon had acquired. And so like we saw their self-driving car people and, you know, some people from MGM, and there was people from Wondery, which included me, and then also people from Comixology. And they told the story about basically how Amazon was like, hey, why don't we take all of Comixology and ruin it and put it into Kindle instead? And Comixology was like, we don't know if that's a great idea. And Amazon was like, no, that is a great idea. And it turned out to be not a great idea. So I will say, like, I feel for Comixology because they knew what was going to happen. They saw what was happening. I don't think they knew when they got acquired, but boy, did they know when the directive came down. And I would say that they really tried to fight the good fight. And really also tried to, try to do well by their users as best they could. And it went great.
It didn't work.
anyway, Don't snitch tag. Ivan asks, on an infinite time scale, which product would be made water?
About transcripts, Les.
Yeah, really? Terrible time.
Oh, no. On an infinite time scale, which product would be made water resistant next? The iPad, the HomePod, or the Vision Pro? I think...
Is there those only options? I was going to go for the Apple TV.
I think the Vision Pro is the one that they would want to make water resistant, so you could wear it all the time.
I mean, iPad. A water resistant iPad would be pretty great, right? Like, you might use your iPad near the pool.
Oh, my God. If I go, like, watch TV in the shower...
I know,
right, John. John,
so
dial it back.
Once again, transcripts,
John. Transcripts.
Penn Jillette has talked about how he uses his Kindle in a Ziploc bag when he's in the bath. So,
oh my God.
Just do that.
I mean, if you're in the, if, like, you're taking a bath in the bathtub, that sounds very, very relaxing. But yeah, I don't want to watch. I don't want to read a book in the shower or to watch my iPad in the shower.
I have one friend who takes calls in the shower, and I'm like,
no.
If
there was a story this week about this, I think in Connected, where they talked about somebody accidentally answering a work Zoom in the shower.
Oh my God. Don't do that.
Ooh.
Yeah, don't do it. I think that person got written up, I believe.
Let's see here. I lost my place. Jeeber asks, if Biden isn't reelected, which country are you considering moving to?
Please don't ask questions like this.
Yeah, we don't need the extra anxiety.
Yeah. It would be Canada, though.
The Bahamas. It's the
easiest, the Bahamas. Sounds like
that. Chris says, what is your opinion on clowns? I will say, my whole life I haven't understood the creepy clown thing, the fear of clowns thing. And I've seen, you know, various movies based on Stephen King character, or one Stephen King character.
Stephen King, if he's writing about more than one clown, then that guy needs help.
I have never had a fear of clowns. Very recently, like in the past 2 weeks before this question came in, I was going, actually entering the stage door for a production of Misery that I was going to be in, and a guy walked by wearing a clown mask, and I was like, that is creepy. Like, it was the first time I looked at a clown thing. I was like, yeah, that's creepy. And it was. I have no idea why that guy had a clown mask on. But normally, I think clowns are fine.
I think they're objectively creepy.
I don't feel strongly about them one way or the other, but I mean, I can see both sides. Like, all right, play the middle here. I've seen
the red nose.
Some clowns.
A lot of clown apologism going on.
Hashtag not all clowns.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's definitely going to be pulled out of the transcript.
Transcripts, yeah. Whoops, all clowns. Sorry, those are the two ends.
Well, the good
spectrum.
Thing is Apple doesn't do speaker identification, so everything that was bad was said by Guy. I want to be clear, Guy said it all.
I can't believe he showed up here just to say all those terrible things.
Yeah. Weird.
But, I didn't even know he worked at
flex.
Amazon. Listener me here asks, when will Moats, nope, that's not your name, when will Moats go all Apple Silicon? There's the L's in almost every word after when. Okay, when will Moats go all Apple Silicon, even for his recording setup?
10 years from now.
I was going to say,
since I'm using it, since the well, gosh, I don't know, this MacBook is 15 years old, maybe longer than that.
Wow,
we'll see.
That's amazing, man.
Yeah.
It's funny. I was at my parents' house yesterday, and I was like asking my mom her iMac was holding up, and it's like 13 years old. And I thought that was pretty old, but damn, yeah. John.
Yeah.
ZM Knox wants to know how many PowerPC Macs and 68K Macs you still have running actual workloads.
None running actual workloads. I do go. I've got several things that go back to that are Intel for sure. Obviously, I got everything except for this. Error, but there's nothing running anything for production, if you want to call it that.
John Moltz's famously professional production environment.
I feel like Apple should make a cool promo
Rube Goldberg machine
for the new MacBook Airs. It's like, come on up for Air. They can have that free, no charge to Apple for that.
If it's so, I mean, they should capitalize the I as well, since it's free AI.
Oh yeah, nice. Now you're thinking.
Nice.
Yeah. Also, then it looks like aluminum, like the AL for aluminum.
Well, yeah, so right. So it kills two birds.
Three birds.
Stone there.
That's,
yeah.
Jesus Christ, Apple! I thought you cared about the environment.
Also,
killing birds.
Hate birds.
Anytime there's a headline that talks about weird AI, it looks like Weird Al, and it's funny.
Do you think he gets annoyed? Does he get?
Oh, he absolutely
alerts?
Does.
It's like, come on.
He doesn't get Googlers, but he will screenshot them and post about them on Threads or whatnot and be annoyed. What did I do? Impugnatius asks, is wealth inequality something tech execs should be responsible for improving, or is it not similar to environmental impact?
Boy, this is a big question. I mean,
this is, yeah.
You know who
I mean,
we
I
are,
wish
right?
they would.
We're guy,
I wish
guy,
they would
guy.
Be responsible. I wish they would be responsible for it, but it's there's no. I mean, this is capitalism, so yeah, they are not only not responsible for it, they're responsible for the opposite.
They're
of
disincentivized.
It.
Yes.
Yeah.
I forget what
yeah.
that expression is, but about how you can't ask somebody who does a thing, somebody who makes their money from a thing, to
yeah, right.
It's that.
Yeah.
I think the more yep. succinct summation of that is the hot dog guy meme.
Like, yeah.
I don't know. I yes, I'm with you.
I would love
John.
To tear the system down if you want, you know, if we have a meeting that we can go to.
Yeah, or just like even like, you know, maybe chip away at the system, like some sure. sledgehammer, light sledgehammer work or something. Yeah. But like, yeah, I don't know. Even these people who I generally think are decent people. I think Tim Cook is a decent guy. But and he is, by all accounts, pledged to give away a lot of his wealth. I would say, yeah. what's stopping you right now? First of all,
like he's not dead. That's what's stopping him.
But that's my point: is you don't need that money. That money's doing nothing for you right now. Like right. you know, maybe now is the time to step up and be
it's
like,
making
hey,
more money is what it's doing.
Why don't I waiting to die?
Yeah,
so I can like give all my money away. Is I don't know.
Millionaires and billionaires aren't going to solve this problem for us, though. At the end
yeah,
of the day.
I know. No. Sadly,
and
the difference between
this and environmental stuff is that there are environmental regulations that are making them do the things that they're doing. So,
well, also
there are definitely no regulations that say you can't get too rich.
Yeah, and also I think there is the argument that there are viable business upsides to the to like being environmentally conscious. Because, you know, if you take a long-term view of things, that is a threat well, to
it's
all
also,
of your business.
It's easier for them to leave generational wealth to their generations to come if the planet doesn't blow up. So,
oh, I thought you were saying it's easier to leave generational wealth to their generations to come and not to, like, trees.
That's also true.
Trees don't need fucking money.
Listener, I'm going to butcher this one. Listener, Chris's CK says, as this is an Apple Watch podcast, how has the watch changed or improved your life? Does Moltz have an Apple Watch?
Of course I have an Apple Watch.
Yeah. How
Has
it improved my life? That's a great question. I think for a long time, I was more inclined to make sure I did my workout so that my watch would be happy. But then once I broke like a multi-year streak when I was sick.
Look at this guy.
I stopped caring about that as much. So
look at this guy getting sick and not working out.
It helps me tell time.
I for years it helped me cooking, and now that I have the HomePod in the kitchen, that responds first whenever I say set a timer, so it's actually doing less work than it used to. But the thing that I think I get the most use out of is the fact that I separate, so we have, you know, like the one of the only home automation things that we have is cameras on the front and back of the house. And I have those set to go to my phone only and not my watch. So when I get an alert that comes in on mm-hmm. just my phone, I know that it's something, you know, it's camera related. And so there's somebody at the door. If I get something that buzzes my wrist, I know it's probably a text or something like that. So it actually helped, you know, without looking, I know what is going on. And that is surprisingly useful because I know whether or not, You know, there are different ways to react to those two things, and so I know which one to do. I think just getting alerts in general is pretty useful.
I would throw in the thing, like, I don't feel myself beholden to close my rings anymore, but I do appreciate it yeah. as sort of a mm-hmm. gauge of, like, you know, I feel kind of credit. You know what? I didn't really get outside today and take a walk or something like that. And so I can use it more as a, like a barometer of, like, how I'm feeling or health wise. Like similarly, I've been tracking sleep more, as we talked about a couple weeks ago with the Apple Watch, and that I also find interesting. Like I'm not sure how actionable it is, but it is an interesting gauge of telling, like, all right, like how am I gonna, like, what kind of shape am I in today? You know, I mean, constantly falling apart more by more every day, but like to what degree? And then I'll add actually the two little things that I like a lot about this are one, Apple Pay. I use Apple Pay on my watch all the time.
Oh, I never.
I love it.
And then when I got the smart lock that uses the Apple Home Key on my Apple Watch, I love that. That makes it like not having to dig through my pockets to find my keys. I just hold my like wrist up to the lock and it just unlocks. It's great. It feels fantastic.
Yeah, I feel that way about using my phone to unlock my car.
You could use your watch to unlock your car, Lex.
Dustin Goldman asks, what is the latest and greatest in ADB to USB adapters? After a years-long campaign, my wife is going to let me put one of my Apple Extended Keyboard 2s in our shared laptop docking setup. But the decades-old Bondi Blue ADB to USB adapters that I have are kind of flaky.
Yeah, I have one down here in my feet, by the way.
Yeah, I'm not capable of answering this question.
I am, not surprisingly. The one that I got most recently was from Tinkerboy. I will put the link in the show notes. It's tinkerboy.xyz. And it's a small company, as far as I can tell, that I think they make their own stuff. Anyway, I don't know where they come from, but, it works
magically
really
adapters
well.
Show up on Molson's doorstep.
They have a host of the weird, you know, type of connectors that you might be looking for. So try that.
There you go. And I was going to say that too. And then, it was the second thing when I duck-duck-goed it. Bullware says, do you have a preferred pencil? And if so, why is it the Blackwing 602? I don't have a preferred pencil. I Googled the Blackwing. Well, I duck-duck-goed the Blackwing 602, and it sure looks like a fine pencil, but $27 for 12 pencils is insane. If I had to pick a preferred pencil, I don't know what they're called, but I know my piano teacher that I had one lesson with used it, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever. But it's where you like twist the bottom, and that makes the point come out more. Those are cool. That's my preferred pencil.
Okay. I don't use a pencil very often. I've got a mechanical set here. I'm looking up to see what it is.
Oh yeah, I'm it's team pen, by the way. I'll do pen all day, every day if I can.
It's an Uni? I don't know. Kuru Toga.
I wish it was an Uni Uni. That would be the greatest name for a pencil ever, the Uni Uni.
Get Lex to pronounce it for you.
Uni, I am looking it up now. The Uni, it's the Uniball, so I guess it's Uni. Uni Kuru Toga mechanical pencil. I like it. It's good.
Okay. I don't know that I have a complete favorite, because I use a lot of different ones. I had a great box of really nice pencils from the Blackfeet Indian Writing Company. I just had to look it up, which was a Native American company. But I think it looks like they're out of business now. Trying to scan this, I got this box years and years ago, and I still haven't like actually gone through all of them, because I guess I don't use pencils all that much. I honestly these days I don't use writing implements all that much either. I use my Apple Pencil a lot, but I tend not to write that much, like as much as I used to anyway.
Yeah. I usually
digital pencils now.
The main thing I use pencils for is like doing stuff around the house, like installing blinds, and I need to like draw on the, you know, window frame where the holes are going to go or something like that.
Yeah.
Or,
and we had, you know, having a kid, you'll maybe find this later, having gone through public school, you know, school systems, and having to need, like, you're supposed to get like 4 boxes of pencils before you start the school year, some ridiculous amount of pencils. We have so many pencils in this house.
John, I know your kid's older, so I'm guessing maybe they don't ask for 4 boxes of pencils anymore.
Wasn't that long ago required you to get a crap ton of pencils. So,
listener Yitz asks, ChatGPT invented new words for me. At this point, what's the difference between actual intelligence and an algorithm that's just guessing what to say next? Inspired by that question, I did ask ChatGPT to make up some words in English, and I really do like friendure, the endurance and lasting nature of a deep, meaningful friendship, and textoplasty, the process of heavily editing or rewriting a text or document to improve clarity.
I think that's just called editing.
No, yeah, I prefer textoplasty.
Don't need another word for that.
This is heavily editing. Editing is light textoplasty.
Okay. What's the difference between real intelligence and anything that can make up words? I mean, I don't know. My toddler, again, can invent words. Is he better or worse than a AI model? I'm going to go with better.
I feel like only
can judge that. Does he come on the new Apple MacBook Air?
Yes, he does. Yeah. That's right. Okay.
Listener Ambioric X asks, what hilarious words do you think the Brits use for pants?
Can you ask ChatGPT?
I literally already pasted it in, but I was thinking trousers as well.
Trouser snoozles.
Pantaloons.
Ooh, pantaloons.
Oh, but it's making up some for me. It thinks that's what I want, because it's coming right after the other question. So Here are ChatGPT's suggestions on what funny things would be for the British to call pants. Leggy baggies, wiggle cases, breezy britches, puddle stompers, and of course, twirl togs. Trousers that are so comfortable one could twirl in them with ease.
All right, shut it down.
Yeah. Just lost a job. We're going home.
We have one last question, which is also from Kiss CK. Lex, what's your favorite pen? My favorite pen is honestly the one I have with me. I like pens that don't make a noise.
Do you have a pen on your phone?
I like pens that are
silent. I'm trying to remember what the heck this is. It's a space pen.
Fisher space pen?
Does it say what it is on it? It probably doesn't even say on it.
I got one of those Fisher space pens.
It's a little tiny, you know, it's a little like pull apart and put the cap on the back of it to make it an actual usable length.
Yeah, I got one of those that keep it in like the same case with my business cards because I take it to like conferences and stuff. But I also have a really nice...
I keep it in my pocket all the time. And it's always funny because Karen always says, you know, sarcastically, do you have a pen? like yes, I do have a pen. Thanks for asking.
My dad has worn two gold pens in his breast pocket for as long as I've been alive. Wow. One fountain pen and one non-fountain pen.
Oh, that's a choice.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, pocket really. Protector. Yeah.
And but he has an index card or a couple index cards in his pocket at all times as well, in case he has to write something down.
Sure. I have a nice Studio Neat Mark I that Relay FM sent me as a your gift at one point. It's pretty good. Got a nice clicky sound.
Nice.
Good feel. Anyways, breezy britches time.
Yeah.